Amen. Amen. Can we take our seats, please? See, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what happens to you, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And it's really important that you understand that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Because if you don't understand that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, there are times that you take certain decisions that are outside of His will for your life. You know, for instance, in Daniel chapter 6, you know, the Bible says the king came out with a decree that for the next 30 days, nobody should worship any other person, not even their God, except their king. Nobody. Now, when Daniel heard this, it didn't sit right with him. And he chose not to worship the king by his God. And he did openly. He did openly. And then they found out. Now, the problem with that was, if you worshipped any other person apart from your God, you were going to put in a den of lions. Let me put it this way. Just think about the way you react when you see a mouse. See the way you jump and you scream or even a fly. Now this is... Exactly. Just think about... Now, this is not even a mouse. This is a lion ready to pounce on you and just eat you. But because Daniel understood the plan and purpose of God for his life, he refused to worship any other God. Now, let's be honest here. If you're in that period and you were told not to worship any other God apart from the king, would you do it? When you know you are going to face certain death, would you do it? I don't know, because I wasn't there. But maybe I'll deny God for 30 days and then come back. I don't know. But would you do it? Not readily, because you are facing certain death. But unless you understand the purpose and the reason why God created you, you would end up taking certain decisions that does not reflect the will and purpose of God for your life. But you know, the interesting thing is what the devil meant for evil, God turned it around in Daniel's life and he was promoted. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you guys this morning that no matter what happens, you need to understand that God has a plan. You were not asked to be born, were you? You were not. God created you. Even if I didn't see that in the Bible, I would think that God has a responsibility to take care of me. Every good parent is responsible for their child. Every good parent. So God has a plan and a purpose for your life. No matter how you feel, no matter what you go through. You know, the thing is, understand is God has a plan and the devil also has a plan for your life. God has a plan and the devil also has a plan for your life. Now you've got to be smart enough to know the difference and be prepared for both of them. You see, Adam and Eve in the garden, they were not prepared for the devil and that's why they fell for it. Jesus, on the other hand, was prepared. When the devil came, he was prepared for him and that's why he could quote scripture after scripture and get the devil away. If you're not prepared for what the devil is coming to do, you'll always fall for it. You'll always fall for it. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for you. So has the devil. So has the devil. I remember years ago, this is probably about 10 or 11 years ago, I'd been looking for a job. And for some time, I hadn't found one. I remember Ronke saying to me, "Oh, Godfrey, so how's it going with your job hunting?" I said, "Look, Ronke, I've tried every single thing. Every single thing, I can't find a job. And if God doesn't come through for me, I'm going to be a stripper. I don't care." And then she started laughing. Now, of course, I didn't mean that. But the frustration in me was coming out. It was coming out, the frustration in me. And sometimes, well, if God wants to see me stripping, then so be it. He had to do something. He had to do something for me because He brought me here. But you know, sometimes a lack of progression can lead to frustration or even depression. A lack of progression in your finances, a lack of progression in your ministry, a lack of progression in your marriage. Sometimes when there's a lack of progression, it leads to frustration. And then you see that you are not the person talking, but it's the frustration in you talking. Yeah. And then you end up taking certain decisions that does not reflect the will of God for your life because you are listening to that voice of frustration. You know, I have a friend about 2 or 3 months ago. She called me. And she said, "Oh, I was out the other day and I met this woman from Amsterdam. Really nice woman." I said, "Oh, good." And then she said, "Well, she's gone back to Amsterdam now, but she gave me her number and asked me to contact her. She just sent me a text message saying that she's got a job for me and that she'll be paying up to £1,000 a day, or even 2,000, depending on me." I said, "Oh, this is very nice." So I said, "What kind of job? What kind of job is it really? I mean, And she said, well, the adult movie industry. Now, I kept really calm. I didn't even react. I said, okay. Well, have you told your mom about it? Oh, no, you know, I can't tell my mom. I said, what about your brother? She goes, no, I haven't. I said, well, I'm quite surprised you're even considering this, you know. I'm quite surprised you're even considering, like, doing this. And I spoke to her and I said, you know what, just delete her number. Just block her. Do everything you can. Because believe me, the devil can get you to a point where you get so frustrated that you'd be thinking about it. You'd be thinking about it, and then before you know, you are hooked into it. But you see, there are times you can get to a place of desperation that you're willing to do anything, even if it's against, and this person, don't get me, they're a Christian, proper Christian. But you sometimes life can push you in a place that forces you to take certain decisions that are not necessarily in line with the will of God for your life. And so you've got to understand the purpose and God for your life, wherever you are, to be able to take decisions that line up with His will for your life. Turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7. 2 Kings, chapter 7. It happens all the time. You know, I used to work for a company in Slough, and before I started that company, I said to them, look, if you pay my travel money, I'm quite happy to work with you. At the time, I lived in Edgware. They said, oh, yeah, it's fine. We'll pay your travel money. Anyway, so I worked for that company for 2-3 months. They never paid my travel money. And I decided I wasn't going to turn up one day, so I just decided not to turn up. And I stayed at home for the next few weeks. I realized I still wasn't finding a job. And so I said, you know, I'll just go back to that job again. And my dad, at the time I lived with my parents, my dad said, you are never ever going back. You need to shut the door on that place because of the way they treated you. I said, yeah, but it's probably better than just staying at home. He said, no, you're not going. Just shut the door on that thing. And I'm glad I listened to him because not long after that, I got a job. But you know, sometimes you need to shut the door on certain things in your life. You just need to shut the door because you come to the point where you realize that it's only part of your history, not part of your destiny. And so you've just to walk away. You have to really walk away from it. Walk away from it. 2 Kings chapter 7. And I read from verse 1. It says, Elisha replied, hear the word of the Lord. And I like the way he starts by saying, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. You see, there's so many voices competing for your attention these days. So many voices. And he's saying, it's time to hear the voice of the Lord. Give some consideration to the voice of God. It's time to hear the voice of the Lord. And he says, this is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seer of the finest flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, could this even happen? Now, if you don't know this story, you probably might not understand. What's happening is there's famine in Samaria. There was famine in Samaria. In fact, it was so bad that mothers were beginning to eat their own children. That's how bad the famine was. And so when this guy, officer, hears the prophet saying, tomorrow by this time, things are going to change, his mind can't process it because it's so bad. I mean, when you get to the stage where you're even having to eat your children because there's nothing to eat, that's really bad. I couldn't, when I first read this thing, I thought, wow, how can you even eat your children? But sometimes, like I said, life can push you to a corner or can be so tight that you begin to do things that you're not supposed to do. Eating your children, how is that possible? And these are the future. And so eating your children means you're destroying your future. And that's what was happening. And so when this officer heard that God was going to turn the situation around, it didn't quite make sense. It's just like me telling you that right now, as you sit here, tomorrow, it's 18 past 10. Tomorrow, 18 past 10, you're going to be a millionaire. Amen. But you see, it's hard to process. With man, it's impossible. But with God, it is. It is. And so this guy is thinking, this guy says, this is how he reacts. He says, the officer on whose arm, verse 2, the king was leaning, said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, can this happen? Can this even happen? And this is what I call the voice of doubt. The voice of doubt. The voice of doubt. We all experience doubt. In fact, if you're here and you don't experience doubt, then chances are you probably don't think. But anybody who thinks will experience doubt. Anybody who thinks. And I mean, even if you read the Bible, like powerful men of God, there's a story in Luke about Zechariah. Zechariah, the Bible says he was blameless before God. And yet he doubted when God said to him that, look, I am going to give you a child. He doubted. And the problem is he had been waiting for so long, believing God so long for a child. And it never happened. And at times when you believe God, you know, especially when you're doing everything right as well, and you believe God for so long and nothing happens, frustration sets in. And then you begin to lose that little hope that you have of God going to come through for you. And so finally, when the angel shows up, he says, no, this is not possible. I've been waiting all my life for this, and this never happened. I'm not going to open myself up to any more disappointment. And he doubted. And you see that same spirit working even in his son 30 years later, John the Baptist. You see that spirit working in his son. Can we go to Matthew chapter 11? Matthew chapter 11. I read from verse 2, Matthew chapter 11. Verse 2, it says, now understand this, John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He knew everything about Jesus. For 30 years, he spent 30 years of his life preparing the way for Jesus. He was the one who baptized Jesus. That was even his cousin. He was the one who baptized Jesus. He was the one who heard God say, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He heard all that. And now for some reason, he criticized Herod. And as a result, he was put in prison. And listen, let's see what happens. It says, when John, verse 2 says, when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? That isn't John. That's the voice of doubt speaking. That's the voice of doubt. Because John knows Jesus so well, that how can he be confused? But that's the thing. Sometimes you get to a situation in life where you begin to get confused because you are making decisions based on what is happening around you, not on the will and purpose of God for your life. And then listen to the answer Jesus says. Jesus didn't even say, I am the Messiah. Listen to what he says. He says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. What an answer. He says, go back and report to John. It's like he hasn't even got any sympathy for John. Go back and report to him what you hear and what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Now you see, John knew the Bible so well. He knew, and he knew that every single thing that Jesus had mentioned was what it was prophesied that he was coming to do. You read Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61, it says that what Jesus came to do. So Jesus saying to his disciples, go and tell John that the blind receive the sight, the lame walk, and all that. He was saying, John, go back to the word and read what you know about my life. So anytime you're in doubt, you need to go back to the word and read what God says concerning your life. You need to read it, because as long as you are leaning on the voice of doubt, you would end up taking decisions that are inconsistent with the will and plan of God for your life. You need to go back to the word and read what God says concerning your life. That's the only way. Sometimes you just have to silence the voice of doubt. You just have to. I remember some time back, it's quite a while now, maybe, I don't know, 15 years. And I thought, God, I can't live this life anymore. And the only reason was all I had in my account was £300. And I'm thinking, God, I can't live this kind of life anymore. I need to change my way of living. And I remember as I was thinking about this. Do you know, sometimes, if you don't have money, you think instead of giving to God, you're better off holding back. You think holding back would help you instead of trusting God to provide. But in fact, the more you give, when you give to God, it's a sign that you trust that He's the one who provides. And so I said, you know what, God, you know, if you're God, prove yourself in my life. There's nothing, God, that I have that you didn't give me. And there's nothing I'll have will become that you will make me. And so I decided against. It was out of frustration and anger. I put everything I had in the offering. didn't know what I was going to survive. But you know, I had to do this for myself. I had to silence the voice of doubt in my life. I had to. And believe me, once I decided to do that, the voices of doubt came up. No, are you crazy? You can't do this. How are you going to survive? Think about your bus pass. Think about this. Think about rent. But I had to do this for myself. See, the word of God is not just writing it down. You need to put it into practice and prove it for yourself. Really prove it for yourself. That's the only reason. That's the only time you can have a testimony for someone. And I didn't. And believe me, since that time, my life has never been the same again. At the time, I even owed about £10,000. And since then, I've cleared everything because I choose to put my trust in God. But listen, the devil will use the voice of doubt to stop you from doing certain things. He will stop you. He will use the voice of doubt to undermine your trust and your confidence in God. So we go back to 2 Kings. Sorry about the detour, 2 Kings. God has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. 2 Kings chapter 7. Then Elisha says this in verse 2. Let's go back to verse 2. He says, the officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, could this happen? And then Elisha says, you will see with your own eyes, answered Elisha, but you would not eat any of it. You see the breakthrough, but you will not be a part of it. And sometimes that's what doubt can do. It can steal the blessing that God has for you. It can steal it. You see, the only limitations that we face are the ones we impose on ourselves. The limitations you embrace will regulate the flow of blessing in your life. It will determine the kind of flow of blessing that comes into your life. So the more limitation you've got in your head, or the more doubts you've got in your head, the more you limit your blessing. Just as your faith can move mountains, so your doubt can create them. So you've got to be really careful. Hallelujah. Let's go. It says, verse 3, it says, now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. And this is the gate of Samaria. They said to each other, why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans or the Syrians and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, we die. So at dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents and ate and drank. Then they took silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. So 1 minute, there's so much scarcity. Then the next minute, so much. From frustration to satisfaction. From frustration to satisfaction. And that's what God wants to do. Now, I started by saying, how many people believe that God has a plan and a purpose for your life? Look, no matter how bad your situation is, no matter how bad your situation is right now, it can be worse than what the guys who had leprosy were going through. Because the fact that these guys, see, in those days, if you had leprosy, you were considered as an outcast. Leprosy was a progressive disease. There are times you can get to a stage where your fingers will even fall. Plus, it was contagious as well. Now, if you had to go like mingle with people, you had to let everybody know that you were coming. You need to shout, I'm clean, I'm clean, so people would know that you were coming, and they'll probably get away from you. And so they find themselves at the entrance, at the gate there. Now listen, I said God has a plan and a purpose for your life. His word says, look, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. His word says, do not be anxious about anything, because by prayer and supplication, if you make your request known to God, he'll come through for you. He says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? He says, all things work together for good to them that love me. 4 guys with leprosy. four guys with leprosy. They were where they were because of their condition. But understand this, God used their condition to position them. That's what he did. He used their condition to position them. And right now you might be here, you think, God, what I'm going through is so much. How do you know God is using that condition to position you? There's nothing God cannot do. There's no situation he cannot turn around. But sometimes when you feel that God is not doing what he's supposed to do, then maybe the voice of doubt, you are leaning more towards the voice of doubt instead of the word of God. There's nothing he cannot do. There's no situation he cannot change. And so maybe for all you know, whatever you feel you're going through this one, it's because God is going to use that to position you. Amen. To position you for exploits. That is what I believe God is about to do. He's about to do that. That no matter where you find yourself, he's just getting ready to reposition you for exploit. And that thing of him turning things around in 24 hours is his way of saying, look, it's not going to take me long. It's not going to take me long. There's absolutely nothing I cannot do. But it's also interesting where the blessing comes from. Nobody ever thought God was going to use these lepers to bring breakthrough. And sometimes you've got to be open-minded when it comes to God. Don't limit him. Don't limit him. Don't say, I'm not going to listen to this guy because he's got jeans that you can see his knees. No, 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 don't. Don't be open-minded. Be open-minded. Be ready for what God is about to do. Once I went to a meeting and I thought the reason why I went to the meeting was because there was a particular guy that I wanted to listen to, and it turns out that guy wasn't even there. In my heart, I said, look, who's this guy who's coming to preach? I didn't come for this guy, man. But it turns out that guy had the most amazing message that day. You've got to be open-minded. I'm only a vessel. We're only vessels. The one who's doing the work is God, not us. We're only vessels. He used donkeys at some point. He'll use anybody. Anybody. Even though at some point water came from a rock. Water coming from a rock. So be open-minded to what God is about to do. And I want to say, anytime God brings a message, it's because he's preparing you for what he's about to do. And now, I don't know what it is that you're going through, but I know God is about to do something. He's about to do something. Can you stand on your feet right now? He's about to do something. He's about to do something in your life. No matter what you are going through right now, no matter where you are, no matter how you feel, he's going to use whatever it is to position you for what he's about to do. I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for your word this morning, God. I thank you for word. The limitations you embrace will always regulate the blessing that comes to you. Instead of leaning on the voice of doubt, begin to lean on the voice of God. Begin to lean on the voice of God. Begin to lean on the voice of God. Listen to what his word says concerning your situation and lean on it instead of your doubt. Because if you look at your circumstances and you look at the things going around you, you probably would never take any step. And don't let what you're going through influence you to make decisions that are outside of the will of God for your life. Because you end up somewhere that God didn't plan. God will do what he says he will do. He will do what he says he will do. Nothing can change that. Listen, the devil cannot stop God from blessing you, but he can stop you from receiving it. All the time that these guys were in Samaria, they had no idea there was abundance on the other side, but the voice of doubt had trapped them, and that there was so much, and yet they didn't even know on the other side. There's so much on the other side for you, and I believe God is going to reposition you. He's going to use your situation to reposition you for what he's about to do. Sometimes there are certain steps that we'll have to take that we'll never take because of fear, because of what other people are saying. And so God will have to use your circumstance to redirect your steps to where he wants you to be. Jonah was supposed to be in Nineveh preaching. Instead, he decided to go to Tarshish. God had to use a whale to redirect his path. Don't get to that point. Don't get to that point. And sometimes things happen to you, you blame the devil. For us, it's not even the devil. And sometimes things happen and you blame God. It's not even God. And that's what I'm saying. You need to be wise enough to know the difference when the devil is moving and when God is. The storm that Jonah encountered wasn't from the devil. It was God turning his way around. He will use situation to do that. Father, I thank you so much for your word this morning, oh God. I thank you that your word that you sent, oh God, will not return to you void, but it will accomplish every purpose for which you sent it. And I pray that, Lord, your children this morning will see the manifestation and power of your word, oh God. Father, there's nothing, oh God, there's nothing you cannot do. For those who can believe, Lord, your words according to thy faith be unto you. For those, God, who can believe you for a 24-hour miracle, I pray that, Father, you turn things around for them this morning, oh God. I give you all the glory, Father, and all the praise, Lord, in the name of Jesus.